This is a HeadGum Podcast.
Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with BiteClear aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. BiteClear aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Welcome to Girls on Porn. I'm Rachel.
I'm Laura. And we love porn.
This is our porn review podcast.
We talk about what we love and roast what we hate.
Helping you find hot, ethical, just plain better porn for your spank bag.
And we're looking at everything. Today's topic, it's erotic art.
It's true, and it's going to be a little bit different than what we normally do because we're not really talking about porn.
Yeah, we're not talking about video clips of porn, but we're certainly talking about sexual imagery.
Very
and
true.
The associated acts.
Mm-hmm.
And we're very lucky to be joined by Armando Caba.
Yes, it's so exciting.
Ooh,
Armando Caba. He is a Canadian artist based in Paris. He was inspired to begin his work in the erotic art after the Tumblr ban in 2018. And out of protest, he painted a series of pornographic images with female presenting nipples and titled them as Renaissance work to confuse the algorithm. What a badass.
It's surprisingly working. Thank you.
Does that mean you're still posting nipples to Tumblr and you have not been flagged?
Tumblr actually is super strict still. Like, they flagged me in a heartbeat.
Okay, like, I thought what you were saying was that you got away with it. I was like, how? Because
no one
is right now.
No,
got
I
it,
tried.
Got it. Yeah, you're just still, like, just painting nipples in general is working.
Painting, yeah, right. Just painting all the naughty bits and just seeing what flies.
And on Instagram, you've got a significant following on Instagram. That's how I found you, and I'm a big fan.
Thank you.
I loved what you were, I think it was last night or the night before, what you were painting. Like, you were actually, like, painting one of the, like, textured nipples. I love that.
Oh,
like,
thanks.
With the music under it. So soothing.
I've been wrestling with that nipple for, I think, like, 2 weeks now.
Oh, that fucking nipple, right?
That fucking nipple. And especially when, like, I speak to my friends being like, how's work been? I'm like, this goddamn tip.
This,
like,
you one.
Have no idea. God, fascinating.
So, yeah, we sort of mentioned it'll be an unusual episode. Armando will help usher us through the wide world of erotic art and visual art in general. Mm-hmm. I mean, we're not going to cover the whole scope of visual art. We're certainly not going to cover the whole scope of erotic art. But all I'm saying is we've got a helpful mentor here.
I'm getting art history flashbacks when you say that.
You're like, fuck, I didn't know I had to prep that hard.
Jeez, fuck me. Oh, that degree's going to come into use now.
Armando, have you always had, like, a fascination with the erotic? Or was there something that that really made you, other than the Tumblr ban, like, were you ever, like, painting erotic images before that?
I think it kind of came into play sometimes in my work, like even in art school, like I dive a bit into it, but like I never saw it as something that I would pursue and make like a solid series out of.
Right, right. But you obviously enjoy doing it now and you're...
It's tons of fun.
Yeah.
I mean, I've been navigating it because, like, you know, I was classically trained, so there's no real tutorial on like how to paint a labia, like how does cum look on a shaft, like what's the color palette for testicles, like, you know, really kind of figure it out as I go.
Right.
What is the color palette of testicles?
A lot of warm colors, and in the shadows, you sneak in some blues. That's how you really get, like, the mass of what's going on.
Oh, surprise blues.
Yeah.
Some blue balls.
Yeah, surprise blues. Yeah, some blue balls indeed.
So I'm going to keep it cheap. Yeah, like, usually I'm the one over academiaizing the show, but for some reason I feel like as the most ignorant about erotic art, I just have to punch us up as we go.
I'm like, what's happening? Did we switch bodies? I want to know about like his history. Laura's like, how do you paint balls?
Let's talk about the tits, blue balls.
Oh, I should definitely do like a Bob Ross segment on just erotic art.
You should. Also,
that would absolutely. That would absolutely go viral.
Yeah, and that's
you heard it here first, folks. Yeah,
that is porn, honestly.
Happy tits. Oh.
It'd fly on Pornhub, I'm sure it would.
Yeah.
I mean, you'd be surprised what you find there that has weirdly gone viral.
Yeah.
I mean, even searching for like this episode, doing research, I went on Pornhub, and there's artists who are posting their work and their process, and it's not even erotic art. It's just them painting portraits. I was like, all right, respect, you know. Hustle doesn't take a back seat. Just got to get those views.
Absolutely. Yeah, we were kind of trying to figure out if like for this episode, we should talk about porn where people are like having sex while painting. And then I was like, no, I'm such a fan of erotic art. It was honestly like a big part of my sexual exploration as a kid. Like I loved drawing sex when I was younger. Mm. And I still do all the time. It's like my party trick. When I get drunk, you give me a pen and a paper and I'm going to draw something really graphic and probably horny. So I was really excited to do this.
Were you like Jonah Hill from Superbad with all the penis drawings in the lunchbox?
Yes.
Yeah,
absolutely.
There you go.
Absolutely. 100%. I worked at the Standard Hotel at the Beer Garden. We had this like journal that we were supposed to write in if we were like, we're low on mustard, you know what I mean? And I filled it with like filthy, disgusting, perverted drawings that my boss found and was shocked. Shocked. God, I wish I want to know where that is, that journal is now.
Probably should be on its way to the MoMA.
Yeah, but I mean, honestly,
someone low key like slipped it out of there and like returns to it for a masturbation from time to time.
It's in someone's spank bank for sure.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Absolutely.
Armando, do you watch porn for reference or just to enjoy?
What's porn? What are you talking about?
What is that? We still don't know.
Well, I watch porn, but I wouldn't say so much for reference because I feel like my research methods are completely different. Whereas it's happened occasionally where I'm watching a video on my own and then I'll pause and I'll be like, oh, that's a really good fucking composition. Like,
yeah.
I'm trying to find this. Cool. I got to find the photo set, but yeah, no, totally watch porn.
Yeah.
What does you mentioned your research, other like, what does your research process for your erotic works look like?
Mostly it's me scouring the internet for a lot of high definition photos. And then, so I usually go to Google, and if anyone gets my phone or my computer, my search history is a mess. Because I'm very specific in what I'm typing. I'm like, close-up, vagina, cream pie, northern lighting,
We can relate to that, for sure.
Yeah. So it's a lot of that. It's just a lot of going through photos, and then I would save them. I would start playing with composition, cropping them, and then doing a little bit of photo editing. But that's pretty much it.
Interesting.
Do you ever paint, like, everything's pretty close-up in your stuff? Is that like intentional and like, is it because or why is that, I guess?
It's intentional. Like I wanted them to kind of feel a bit abstract in a way.
Yeah.
That they're being very like realist, but also I want, when someone looks at them, I want them to kind of project their own thing to it. So it's kind of becomes their narrative as opposed to just exclusively mine.
Right. What do you think about people like getting turned on by your work? Is that something that you think about when you're painting it, or
do you aim for that?
Not really, but I do get tons of messages from people just writing to me saying like, hey, saw your Instagram page, I'm wet as shit. Like, I'm really happy.
It's always, I'm like, because I feel like the point of erotic art is to kind of like tantalize a little bit, but you know, I wonder, like, as the artist, like, how does that make people feel? Like, is that something that you take into consideration while you're making it, you know?
I think a bit, but also while I'm working on it, like, it becomes so, like, abstract to me. Like, I forget what I'm painting. It just becomes a collection of shapes and forms. Yeah. And then someone will come in the room and be like, is that an asshole? Like,
That's
a good point. Hey, I did good. I did good.
I couldn't see the forest through the trees.
Right.
I couldn't see the asshole through the blue and warm tones.
Exactly.
I just assumed that there were blue tones in an asshole also.
There are. Yeah, okay. You're right.
Good
you hit
to
that.
Know. Good to
Do
know.
You feel like you have like a clear stance on whether something is art or like porn?
That's a really good question.
Rachel, you were killing it with the question.
Yeah. Because like normally
Don't apologize.
I'm just fascinated.
As you should be. I mean, because there's a moment where like porn is very graphic and eroticism mm-hmm. leaves more room for the imagination. So I feel with my work, I'm kind of walking that like line between them where yes, it's graphic, but there's still, it's quite open for you to imagine whatever you want with it.
Right, right. That's just something I think about a lot just because of, you know, obviously the loopholes that you can get around like posting on Instagram and stuff.
Mm.
Which is, I did a little bit of research about like the Miller versus California, that Supreme Court case. Do you know about this?
I don't know too much about this one.
This is like the reason like we can't really post stuff on
I've researched this in the past.
Yeah.
Specifically around like Sestafosta and just bullshit legalese around censorship, essentially.
Yeah, it's censorship. And it's like kind of the reason that like the golden age of porn ended because they shut down like movie houses and like the distribution of things. And that's when like things had to become go underground. But basically it was like the Supreme Court ruling that established like a system of what of whether or not something's considered obscene. And if it then it's not protected by the First Amendment. And it's basically like whether or not it offends like the community standards. Like that's the system, which is I think is so fascinating because that's the same verbiage essentially that like Instagram uses today.
Yeah.
Oh my God. You know, like it goes against our community guidelines.
Oh, my God. And their guidelines don't make much sense to me because they're quite vague at times. And I've been getting nailed on things that I didn't think I'd get, you know, for like,
oh, they're vague. Yeah. They're vague by design. They're designed and because these social media platforms have walls up around communication, like you can't actually talk to them about like, what did I do? Can I appeal this, you know, censorship of this post? Can I appeal getting shut down? And it's, it's basically impossible aside from just flooding them with like generic messagery. I'm just trying to sound academic now.
messagery.
Yeah. Like you can sort of flood them. And I think if you have enough of a following and people that will reach out to them, you can get their attention, but it's bullshit. You can't actually communicate with the platform.
Right.
Sorry. I interrupted you though, Armando.
Oh, no. Yeah. Don't worry about it. I've appealed many times and I never get a response back.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a brick wall.
Yeah.
And I get pinned now where someone, I'll post my work, it'll make it onto Instagram, and they'll share my post. And if they tag me in it and I decide to share it, then they get me on that.
Oh, weird.
So I feel like it's like this classic like cop storyline with like drug dealers. Like, we can't nail him directly, but we got to get the guy he deals to. And then we got him.
Sure.
Yeah, so these weird loopholes that they're getting me on.
Right.
So frustrating.
But like your stuff is so like classically, like it just looks so timeless. It's so interesting.
Yeah, it
to me
shows that,
like,
that you're classically trained. That you mentioned that. I was like, oh, of course, because it's. And I noticed also in reading about you, because you know we did some internet creeping, that we did our homework. That you're like mainly known for portraiture, which is an amazing skill and style to bring into erotica.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Wow. Well, I feel they're kind of the same because there's a level of intimacy. I mean, when you're painting someone, you know, getting that emotion and the way people react to my portraits, feeling like they know who it is, even though it's a complete stranger, that kind of spills into erotic work.
Right.
When you paint portraiture of specific individuals, do you have them sit for you or do you take a photo? And then, like, what does that process look like?
I usually work from photo because I'm a stickler for detail. And I also feel so bad having someone sit like 6 hours in front of me. There's some days where like I really don't want to paint, and if they come in, I feel responsible. Like, yeah, I should be working. And it just ends up being this anxiety fueled mess in my head. So, I just take a photo and I hang out with them, and you know, I try to. Most of them are good friends, sometimes not, but I try to get a feel for them, like what they're like, and. Yeah, just, and that gets recorded in the portrait itself. It's not necessarily a documentation of them, but more the artist's reaction to them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's interesting that you mentioned like the intimacy of a portrait and then also like the intimacy in erotic art, because, you know, you get it from just the, like the looking at the act, you know. Beautiful. Yeah. You guys want to hear about some history?
Of course.
Okay, cool. Because
what if we say no? What if we just say no?
I don't want to be informed. I'm going to do it anyways, Armando. You can take a nap. I know you'll probably know more about this than I will, but I just love, you know, to be a nerd and find things online. So basically, erotic art has been around for forever. One of the earliest... It might be the oldest cave drawing ever. There's one of a vulva in a prehistoric rock in like southern France. It was like 37,000 years ago.
Of course, it was the French.
I was going to say that. It was definitely them. It couldn't be anybody else.
Like, horny as hell. I love it. And then we see it like in ancient Egypt. They had like these huge, massive papyrus scrolls. That was kind of like the first men's naughty mag. There was like in the 1150 BC issue, Centerfold featured an orgy of horny pharaohs.
An 11 BC centerfold is
1150.
Is really 1150 BC centerfold.
I know.
Amazing.
This is amazing. Before our Lord and Savior. Like, we've got erotic art from forever
We had
ago.
Centerfolds before we had Jesus Christ.
I know.
So get
Think
it
about that for a second.
Don't get it twisted.
Facts.
And then, of course, ancient Greece, ancient Rome, those horny fuckers. We got sexual scenes on ceramics, and also which included some of the first same-sex relations, which I didn't know that in ancient Greece on the ceramics and stuff.
That tracks.
Yeah.
Very homosexual or fluid society, I would
right.
say.
I know. It's bisexual, like, where did we know. Go wrong?
Yeah.
I don't know what happened. Society.
Yeah. I could tell you it's Christianity. Yeah. But
yes,
hey.
Yeah. Literally. And then there's like sexually explicit paintings on the walls in Pompeii, even.
Those Italians.
I know. Again,
the French.
Mm-hmm. Horny.
French
horny.
Italians.
And this is why I'm like, yeah, I want to move to Europe. You know, like those are my people.
Let's go back to our roots. Our erotic roots.
Right. And then even in Eastern cultures, we've talked about this before on the hentai episode, but we've got like Shunga, which was Japanese erotic art in like 13th century. And that just kind of continued to grow. All erotic art continued to grow until, you know, photography was invented.
Yeah. And we'll talk a bunch more about Shunga later in the episode.
But, you know, Europe with the Renaissance, it continues to build momentum. There was this guy who was hired to decorate the inside of the rooms for the Vatican. And on the side, he also, like, did wood block carvings and like printed like sex positions, which was emoti. It was a woodcut album in the early 16th century, which I loved that he was just doing this on the side while he was painting the inside of like Vatican housing.
Hopeful that this would be Michelangelo, right? Like he's
painting
the Sistine Chapel. He's also just a notable pornographer of the time.
Yeah.
I feel like I would have known by now, but no, it's a dream.
Giulio Romano was the man. Yeah. So, but I just like loved that. Freaky. You know?
Oh, I do love all of that.
It's all timeless. I mean, yeah, everyone's been freaky since the start.
Yeah.
If sex work is the oldest profession, then certainly erotic art is some of the oldest form of artistry.
I mean, it's true.
Yeah.
And then there was kind of like this fad of people doing it for like the aristocracy and for like kings and queens and things like that, which I loved because I'm watching that show, The Great, right now. On Hulu about Catherine.
I just started watching it as well. This show has also become like a TV plug show. Like,
yeah, we watch a lot of television.
Like in quarantine, I think we're now just talking a bunch about like what else we're watching. Amazingly, the porn isn't taking up all of our time.
Right. It's like 50-50. 50% porn and like 50% scripted television.
Yeah, sensual scripted television.
It's a healthy balance. I mean, I tried to finish Pornhub when the premium was free. I treated it like Netflix. I was like, I gotta see what's going on.
Let's
on
just
page,
burn
3,000. Yeah.
When opportunity knocks, right?
Yeah.
Should we get into our showdown twist, or am I premature?
We can. I mean, I could continue, but, you know, let's go into the showdown twist.
Let's do it. Let's do it. Okay, so this is going to be a little different than usual, because instead of, you know, talking through titles from Pornhub, what we actually did was had our Instagram followers at Girls on Pern, gentle plug there, write in with some of their favorite erotic artists.
Because Instagram is a great resource for this. I follow a lot of erotic artists.
Yeah, Instagram is such a platform for artists now. Actually, we'll get to it later in the episode, but researching Helen Beard, one of the articles like quoted how many followers she had and then was like, because that's actually very important these days.
it is.
Qualified the stat. And I was like, it's cool. I'm on board.
Yeah.
So yeah, I'll just start reading through. We've got Namio Harukawa, a fetish artist with beautiful fat dominatrix. Shift in Power is beautiful.
I love his work. I mean, I'm a sucker for ass, but like his work, holy crap.
Yeah.
It's so good. I think he recently passed away.
Oh, really?
Oh, really?
Yeah, I think it was not that long ago.
Oh, shit. I didn't know that.
Yeah, now we lost a good one.
Wow, starting off with a banger, Laura.
Starting off by killing the mood, really bringing us down.
I'm sorry.
No, it's me. I didn't know. I should have researched that deeply. And also I should qualify that some of these are artist names and some are fully their tags, which I love. So we're just going to mix them up. Mm-hmm. At not cam damage because they're queer, kinky and didactic.
Ooh, nice. Cam damage. I'm not familiar, but I will.
Yeah. Some of these I don't know. Also erotic watercolor, which is the Instagram of a female artist who paints commissioned pieces.
I love erotic watercolor. I was kind of like, maybe I should get that for my partner for his birthday, like a commissioned piece of like us.
Oh my God, we think alike. Just forget we had this conversation, because in following a bunch of these artists, I was like, I wonder which one of these I will someday gift to Rachel. Yeah. I'm getting you a fucking 10-foot by 20-foot goddamn painting of a vulva, bitch. Get ready.
All I want.
It'll probably just be Armando's work, let's be honest.
Cool.
I'll do it for free. Don't worry.
Oh my God, stop.
That sounds, 10-foot, but we'll talk.
Yeah. It'll take time. Yeah, we'll talk off the podcast about it.
I believe in compensating artists. All right. Organ Donor Studios. He's my friend and he's super body positive. I hadn't heard of that one, but that was a recommendation.
Mm-hmm. Check it out.
Special props to Moanzine.
Oh, yes.
I've heard of Moanzine.
Yes. That Moan sent us actually an issue and seemed to have like rallied the troops, because many, many people wrote in about Moan.
Yeah, I love that that zine. It's so good. And I can't remember the specific artist's name who does all the illustrations, but that's a lot of like bondage and it focuses on like female pleasure. Mm-hmm. Really sexy stuff.
Yep. We have Natalie Krim, Girls, Girls, Girls. We have a mention of Milo Manara. Milo. I always fuck that up.
I don't know.
Do you know Armando?
No, I'm not sure at all.
Well, this is an Italian artist that we've actually talked about before on
Milo.
The show.
I think you got to get the hand gesture in there.
Milo Manara.
Milo Manara. That sounds right.
Hey, bravo.
Yeah. Alpha channeling. Smooth and mystical and erotic. This one, Rachel, I know you will love, and I'm going to fuck up the pronunciation. Petite luxure.
That's it's French, so Armando probably knows more than
I do. So it's probably petite luxure?
Yes.
Yeah.
Petite
luxure.
L-U-X-U-R-E-S? Yeah.
Yes.
Little luxuries.
Yes.
Little luxuries. Also, in a similar vein, this one I actually did look up the pronunciation, and I'll still fuck it up. Regard coupable?
Yeah.
Oh, regard coupable. Oui,
okay, so yours was better. Great.
Yeah.
No problem. Yeah, no, they're fucking good.
I have one of those prints in my room. I'm obsessed with their art. It's incredible. I love like just really simple line drawings. It's similar to Petit Luxure, but Petit Luxure is kind of like tongue in cheek. They do like plays, play on words, which I like. Things like that that are like that I can find on Instagram that are like easy to digest. You know,
It's like easy. Simple. Like with the line suggestion, even though there's not that much information, you know exactly what's going on, and it's
right.
It's
and
great.
That makes it like more exciting to me a little bit.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah,
it's nice.
And goes without saying, I followed all of the artists that folks recommended to us that I wasn't following already, and I would encourage our listeners to do the same.
Do it.
Can't hurt to plug an artist. Doesn't cost us anything.
Mm-hmm.
Tina Maria Elena, beautiful watercolor that blends into each other, steaming.
Beautiful stuff.
Hardcore haiku.
Oh yeah,
that's one I followed. That one's super fun. It's just like that one's like really whimsical and less like visually driven, but is like a visual. You know, it's like little assembled, almost fridge magnet style haiku stuff.
I think that's exactly what it is fridge magnets.
Yeah,
I'm gonna have to check them out.
Flows of Lie. This one I didn't know. It's like Flowsofly, and it's specifically like line drawings. A lot of them are designed to be licensed as tattoos.
Oh, cool.
And I loved that. I looked at this account and was like, oh, fuck, maybe this is the person that's going to design my tattoo finally.
Interesting. Okay.
We'll see. Another props to Holly Yinks.
Because
a bunch of people wrote in about this artist who seems to have like a burgeoning, like a baby following, but like a ton of people wrote in. So I think this person like, you know, asked their fans to support.
I know. So
one person said she paints beautiful porn stills and nudes and is a vocal sex worker ally, which is on brand. Let me just pick one or two more. Matt Bailey was tagged, who I think you also sent to us.
I love Armando. Matt Bailey's work.
Yeah, another tattoo meets visual artist in general, right? Milk My Coconuts, his style is so raw and beautiful.
Oh, yeah. It's like kind of like splashy stuff, you know? It's like, it's not as like clearly defined, which I like.
Mm-hmm. Rachel Ann Orr. Who is a collage artist I looked up. Beautiful stuff. And then, wait, let me find it. Oh, we'll cut this part out later.
A couple people said Armando.
Here's my favorite one. Oh, Armando Caba, because he's raw as hell.
Oh, yeah.
Hell yeah.
I love it. I love that you gotta mention Armando. Gorgeous.
And a couple people mentioned the three pieces of art that we're gonna talk about.
Yes. Some folks mentioned Helen Beard. One more I missed. Enzo Sciotti, who is an Italian illustrator, I think actually best known for movie posters.
Oh, okay.
It was lots of like sex horror stuff.
Oh, nice.
Did the poster for like The Fly, but like dozens of others.
Yeah. Also, like Alexandra Rubinstein is another favorite. I think she's just
The penis paintings are so good.
She's just got a great sense of humor, you know.
Oh my god, I love it.
I love art with a sense of humor.
Yeah. And also like go ahead.
Oh, I was gonna say that I had a fanboy episode when she followed me back. Like I freaked out. I was like, oh, I'm worthy. Oh, shit.
Yeah, she's great. I love like the series of like famous people giving cunnilingus.
It's so good.
Yeah. We posted one once of like Jesus going down on someone and like got like so much hate that I had to take it down. I was like, I'm not trying to get like shut down today, you know?
Yeah. I fangirled when Jerry Saltz followed us.
Oh yeah,
art critic. He actually was mentioned in one of my like researched articles. It just reminded me that he followed Girls on Porn, then he followed each of us individually.
Yeah, I was
occasionally
like, okay.
I'm like, I gotta post better shit. Like, this isn't.
Yeah.
Like, what is he following me for? Like,
I don't know.
My dog? Probably not.
But he's a big fan of erotic art too.
Yeah.
He always is reposting Joyce artworks. Do you know that? I can't remember what her full name is, but she posts these amazing, also with like a sense of humor of like, you know, boobs as like balloons and things like that.
Yeah.
That's really stunning. Also, my friend Eric Lotzer is an amazing up-and-coming erotic artist. He posts a lot of stuff with, like, a sense of humor, and there's a lot of homoerotic vibes, but I love that.
Yeah, a lot of homosexual imagery with, like, figures doing things. I've seen a lot of the Eric stuff. Yeah,
yeah, that's great. He's great. He's super talented.
Figures doing things. Listen, I'm going to go into art criticism. Watch
please,
out.
Please write it. Please write a catalog for a museum. Just like, what's the show? Just figures doing things.
Yeah, that's it. Come check it out. You're gonna get turned
You're gonna
on.
Love it.
Yeah,
yeah. Honestly, given how much like floral language goes into art criticism, I think it'd be refreshing to be like, so we got some bodies. They're colored. pretty good.
There's some fluid. I like it. You should like it. If you don't, that's okay. But thanks for coming by.
Thanks for coming by. There's wine on the other side of the art gallery. Enjoy the hit the bar. Tip your waiter.
Yeah. Enjoy the cheese plate.
Awesome. Amazing. Should we take a quick little break?
Yeah.
Sounds good.
This HeadGum Podcast is brought to you by Auraframes.
That is right.
From grandmothers to new mothers, aunts, even the friends of your life, every mom loves an Auraframe.
Holy shit, even aunts?
Yes, especially aunts.
Oh, well.
Because it was named the best digital photo frame by Wirecutter and selected as one of Oprah's favorite things. I mean, these Auraframes are guaranteed to bring joy to moms of all ages.
I believe it.
You have an Auraframe, don't you?
Yes, I actually more than believe it. I know it. I've got one for my mom, my mother-in-law, my grandmother-in-law.
And dare I say, your aunt?
And dare you say, my aunt and my aunt-in-law. Everyone's got one. Everyone loves them.
I mean, Mother's Day is right around the corner, and there's no better gift than a digital photo frame. You give them the frame. It's got preloaded pictures in there. And you know what? You can update it with an app. So every time you take a new picture of a sweet little person or place or thing in your life, it gets automatically sent to that frame.
Exactly.
And right now, Aura has a great deal for Mother's Day. Listeners can save on the perfect gift by visiting AuraFrames.com to get $30 off plus free shipping on their best-selling frame. Holy smokes.
Excellent deal.
Yeah, that's AuraFrames.com. You use the code HEADGUM at checkout to save.
HEADGUM. Nice.
Yes. HeadGum. It's easy to set up. It's loved by everybody, including Oprah, including your aunt.
Mm-hmm.
So do check them out. That's AuraFrames.com. Use code HeadGum at checkout to save.
Damn right.
And terms and conditions apply, of course.
Of course.
Thanks again to Aura.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective, unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/Wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/Wondery.
And we're back.
We're back.
Talking more about erotic art, guys.
What else would we be talking about?
I know.
Yes.
Not porn.
Not porn.
So don't call the authorities.
We're specifically talking about Dream of the Fisherman's Wife.
Yes.
By Hokusai.
Mm-hmm.
And yes, I did look up pronunciation of his name, and it goes something like Katsuchika Hokusai. Okay, that was me still butchering a YouTube video I found where I was like, how we do it so fast?
Yeah.
But I just want everyone to know I'm trying, and we respect our own failures and ignorance.
Breach. So a lot of you listeners might know this. We've talked about it before, specifically for the hentai episode. Also, it was featured heavily in the movie The Handmaiden, which we also talked about in the movie Sex Scenes episode.
Yes.
You also might know it because it's really famous. It is of a woman being pleasured by an octopus, two octopuses.
Are there?
Or
yeah,
two.
There's two of them.
Yeah,
yeah.
Is little it, one. Little one on
a baby.
Our
is it baby. Is it octopuses or octopi?
That's a great question. Maybe octopi.
Well, what's interesting is this has This painting has multiple names because it sort of wasn't named initially.
Yeah.
It's also known as The Girl Diver and Octopuses or The Diver and Octopuses. So that would lead us to think octopuses.
Think that it's two.
That solves an acceptable that mystery. Form.
Yeah. 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 So the larger one is going down on her, and then we've got a smaller one, which like may or may not be his offspring.
Yeah, it was talked about that it like could be his offspring.
Yeah, assists by, you know, fondling her mouth and her nipple.
Yeah. And this is I think it's so many words you said this already. Yeah, it's a gorgeous piece. It's also arguably like the most famous work of erotic art.
Yeah. Yeah. Ever. Yeah. It's true.
Which is interesting because Hokusai didn't focus on erotic art exclusively.
Yeah.
You know, I found information that he went by many different names, which I guess was not uncommon at the time, that he would change his name almost as he entered different phases of his own work.
Oh.
And that he painted well into his, like this painting he did when he was 54 years old.
Mm.
It was put out in 1814, but he was born in 1760. So that's me doing math.
Great.
And he lived to very old age. And completed Ducks in a Stream, which is another famous work of his, at the age of 87. And it said that when he died, on his deathbed, he said, "If only heaven will give me just another 10 years, just another 5 more years, then I could become a real painter." That he was so like relentless about his work that even as he was dying, he felt that he wanted to keep working and do better. Which is sad. I mean, it's amazing because he was... intensely prolific, but
an artist's work is never done, you know?
Yeah, I mean, I constantly feel I'm always learning something. I understand what he's saying. Like, he's just constantly picking up something new, whatever you're doing.
Yes.
But what I really enjoy in this piece was it's very subtle. It's the tentacle around the nipple.
I love that too. I wrote that down.
That was so gorgeous.
Yeah.
And I think for me on like my interests and how like also like when I look at porn, I always love the subtleties. Those little intimate moments really sell it for me.
Yeah.
Because it's those intimate moments that pull you into an actual sexual experience, right?
Right.
It is
like
the teasing of a nipple that is tantalizing in real life. Mm-hmm. So seeing that intimacy captured visually is incredibly moving for me as well as stimulating. So.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's interesting because I feel like a lot of people are like, is she dead? Is it violent? You know, because a lot of like tentacle porn is kind of like the monsters like overtaking the person receiving the pleasure. But this feels like mutual enjoyment. The way her back is kind of arched and how she's holding on to one of the tentacles. And I love that there's the one tentacle from the big guy at the bottom has like is kind of curling up around her thigh, like holding her thigh and like reaching down on her clit. It's like very subtle. But I loved it. I was like, oh, we got clit stimulation in 1814. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. Do either of you know the story behind the painting? Like, it's a fairly well-known, from my research, sort of piece of folklore that is depicted in much art of that era that it sort of refers to. Are either of you familiar with that?
No.
Not really. I did read somewhere because some people were talking about how hentai originated, and some people believe that it was with the American occupation after World War II, that there was a censorship ban, and that's what really pushed it. But then this piece exists way before then.
Yeah.
And the kind of history behind it is apparently, I don't know if this is true or not, but they said that apparently samurais would carry erotic art on them as kind of like, to show that their sexuality, to show that they're erotic and that they're into it.
Oh, I love that.
Wow. Yeah. I think there are several phases of censorship, and I was sort of fascinated by, do works of art like this actually get more attention and more traction due to that censorship? Like when you can't just have access to anything, does a beautiful and notable work like this actually like stand out more because of that kind of restriction. Yeah. I wondered that.
I think with this piece, because it's easy to forget that, like, without Instagram and social media, that back in the day you had to physically travel to go see this work. So there was a lot of word of mouth. So I imagine the story behind it just got so big, and the way that people would describe it.
Yeah.
It got everyone going, like,
yeah,
to go see it, and got their fantasies going. So, yeah, it makes complete sense that it blew up.
Yeah. Yeah.
The basic story, like the sort of loose folklore around this is that so I don't want to give too much detail because it's boring, but we have a character named Fujito. I just don't want to fully read a four paragraph story that I pulled from the internet, but we have Fujito. He rages an isolated island where he meets Ama. They fall in love. They bear a son. And Fujito has been on this quest to retrieve a stolen pearl.
Mm.
So Ama, his lover, would die every day. That comes later, spoiler alert. Would dive every day to the sea, hoping to get into the Dragon King's lair. Mm. This all sounds familiar. You know, like, I think anime still refers back to this, as does hentai. Yeah. So she's hoping to get into the Dragon King's lair. Finally, Ama was able to lull the grotesque creatures through music. However, after retrieving the pearl and trying to escape, the creatures in the sea god awakened and tried to capture the woman. One of them was an octopus. In her attempt to escape with the pearl, Ama slit her breasts and hid the pearl inside her. The blood from the cut blurred the sea, and she was able to escape. But while she was successful in her task, she died because of her wound after reaching the surface. So I think this image is pulled specifically from the moment, like the encounter with the octopus.
Oh, interesting.
So I do think it blends a little bit of the, let's call it dubious consent of being captured by this terrifying creature. But there is language in the text on the piece that suggests her pleasure as well.
Right, right.
Shall I read an excerpt from the translation I found?
Yes, please.
Let's hear it.
Okay, octopus, wondering when to do the abduction, but today is the day. At least she's captured. Even so, this is a plump, good pussy, a greater delicacy than even a potato. Sucking to complete satisfaction, then take her to be imprisoned in the Dragon King's palace. Sounds. Zhu, zhubu, zhubu, chu, chu, chu.
We get some noises.
Zhu, zhu, fu, 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 fu.
Okay.
Diver, this hateful octopus, fu, 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 rather, sucking on the surface of the inner mouth of my womb until I'm breathless. I'm coming by that projecting mouth. By that projecting mouth, the open vagina is teased.
Wow. Okay.
And it goes on further. She comes again or continues
I'm coming.
To.
We get the phrase, I'm coming, in 1814.
Which is great.
That's crazy
also,
to
they
me.
Mentioned, also, they mentioned potato and I'm coming in the same paragraph.
Which, honestly, I always need.
Bravo. Like, yeah. Shakespeare
man,
who?
Yeah. If someone tells me that my pussy is more of a delicacy than a potato, marry me, okay?
Yeah. One more final choice line from this translation that I loved. Small Octopus says, after my parent is finished, I too will use my projecting mouth to rub from her clitoris to her ass until she loses consciousness, and then I'll do it again.
Okay.
So it really does toy with the notion of consciousness and like, is she dead? Is she losing consciousness from pleasure? Which just to tie it back to the French, the translation of orgasm is a tiny death.
It's
is
true.
That right? Do you know this petit mort?
Le petit mort?
They don't really say it that much. They're like already like living here in France.
God damn it, Armando. You couldn't
give
us
this. I know, I'm sorry. I can give you other information about it. Like the dirty talk is different here in France if
is
we're on
it?
The subject.
Okay.
I mean, like being called daddy doesn't translate well. It's like, oui, papa. Like, that kind of kills me.
Papa.
I love that. Yeah. It is like specifically her pleasure is sort of featured in it, even if the consent is dubious. We'll say again.
Love it.
Yeah.
It's a beautiful, gorgeous piece.
Truly gorgeous work.
Shall we move on in the timeline of things?
I think we shall.
Yeah.
Let's get in the time machine and go forward.
Okay, cool.
Next up, we have Betty Tompkins. specifically her piece, Fuck Painting Number 4 from 1973. This was specifically your suggestion, Armando. Thank you so much for sharing this.
No problem. Like, she, every time I hear her name or I see her work, I get so hyped. I just hear, like, rap air horns because she's just so amazing. Like, meow, 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 yeah. Fuck Painting Number 4. Oh,
yeah. It's true. It's true.
It's, I love her work. And yeah, it's clear, like, if you look at my work and you see what she does, like, I take so much inspiration from her. Like,
yeah.
She really paved the way. And what's interesting about her work is that she was using references from her, I think it was her first husband's porn collection, which was also illegal at the time.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I saw that it was specifically like a, was it Japanese? It was an Asian porn collection.
I think so, yeah.
That she sort of became fascinated with and then started.
And then painted them on these large scales. And there's one here in France at the Pompidou. I haven't seen it yet, but I've heard, like, I can just imagine that you get engulfed in it when you see it. Like, it's this huge.
They're massive, yeah.
Yeah. And they're almost, they're very abstract too, because like it takes a moment to kind of get your bearings of like what's happening in
right.
the scene.
Yeah. It's kind of like smooth looking, you know, like it isn't very, it's not very clearly defined. Like things kind
it's
of.
It's hazy.
Yeah, it's hazy. That's a good way of describing it. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Which I love. It kind of makes it feel dreamy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know? There's like
did we already say that it's like it's photorealist painting, but it's it is like incredibly vivid and as you said, like very smooth. It feels hazy because it's sort of smooth,
right?
In its execution,
yeah. I loved that it's like the folds of the labia, like almost look like the profile of like a mouth, like of a kiss.
Yeah,
you know, just the composition of this one. It's like I like that it's. You know, like penetration coming from above into her. It just, it looks great.
And that the penis kind of looks like a tree. Like it kind of looks like a landscape.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The, like the pubic hair is kind of swirling.
Oh, yeah.
You know, everything just looks really soft and like silky. It's very like celebratory of, you know, a something graphic.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Her story is great. I mean, like, she was denied a lot by a bunch of galleries because back being a woman doing this, and, you know, they constantly would give the excuse saying, no, come back in 10 years when you found your voice. Mm-hmm. And that, I think, is like, I've had that comment like 3-4 times. It's so frustrating.
Yeah.
Like, come back in 30 years and we'll see what's up. Like, are you sure you're still going to be around in 30 years? Like, you're like, okay. But,
what audacity.
Yeah. Yeah.
Come back in 30 years.
Come back in 30 years. Like, okay. All right. Yeah. I'll put it in my agenda. Thank you.
And I love that, like, they feel okay saying that to an artist. Like, could you imagine, like, being, like, I don't know, like, an actor and, like, someone being like, yeah, come back in 30 years. Like, I think I would die.
Yeah. Or being, like, a fucking working a desk job, being like a programmer and being like, if you could just come back in 30 years and figure out something else to do in the interim, like, that'd be cool.
Yeah, well, you just need to... Just fine tone your skills a little bit.
Figure your shit out. Yeah. I'll give you 30 years.
Yeah. This is where Jerry Saltz came in. I found an article about how in 2002, Jerry Saltz shared an image of one of Tompkins' fuck paintings with gallery owner Michelle Algus. I may be butchering that pronunciation, who offered her a solo exhibition in his New York City gallery, which was 15. It had been 15 years at that point since her last solo exhibition, and it helped restart her career in
02. Oh, wow.
So thanks to Jerry for that.
Jerry's the man.
Yeah. I also found this interesting that she was kind of hated by feminists back in the 70s.
Yeah. Do you think it's because the vulva is bald?
No, that I think it was because she was pro-porn.
Like, no, it absolutely was. It absolutely was because, like...
She was like, I love porn. They're having a great time. Why would we hate this?
Yeah, you know? There was a wave of feminism that was very anti-porn. Mm. And understandably, though, that is not the position we obviously take.
Right.
But I did... The only thing I was like... So the vulva's completely bald, whereas the penis has... Just a full ass bush.
Oh, it's like a lion's mane.
Yeah.
For the dick.
It's insane. That's not true of all of her work. Just this one specifically. I was like, I've never had a vulva that smooth. Like that.
I know, but that's the thing, is it looks smooth. It looks
like it's never had a hair on it. It's, yeah. It's why it's all like so, it looks like a fucking peach you want to bite into.
Yeah,
you
know? Everything's so silky.
Yeah.
I mean, really even kind of going back to the way I do research, when you see like pictures of vulvas or whatever it may be, they're so Photoshopped that there's no pores.
Yeah.
And trying to paint from that, it's fucking weird.
Yeah.
It's just like, like there's no stubble. It almost looks like it's a doll. Like it's a weird. This is like this is what's number one right now. Like that's so.
Yeah. I want the reality.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Here in 2020, Armando, you're painting the pores, the imperfections, and the texture.
Yeah.
Thank you. I'm just doing one penny at a time. I'm just trying my best here.
One pussy pore at a time. Oh, I love it.
Okay, next up.
Yeah, last one.
We've got Heart-Shaped Box from 2019. This is by Helen Beard. This is probably one of my favorite erotic artists ever.
Mm-hmm.
I love her stuff. She's a London-based artist, and she does these kind of abstract images of vulvas, bodies, penetration,
mm-hmm.
Sex acts, and these bright primary colors.
Yeah, it's these like polychromatic shapes, and each shape is sort of indicative of a body part.
Yeah,
exactly. Yeah. But it's very fluid and you know, you can find form in it, but it is abstracting the form just a bit because you could glance at it and not see like, oh, that's a vulva.
Right.
You know?
Yeah. Yeah, you can miss it.
Yeah.
You can miss it.
Right.
And it also feels like a collage, even though these are like really giant paintings.
Yeah.
Like they feel like kind of like paper cutouts that are
Right. I just love the bright colors make it like celebratory,
mm-hmm.
you know, like everything just looks fun and exciting. And
I wrote.
It's like a bouncy castle.
Yeah,
like you just want to jump in.
Yeah, exactly.
I wrote bright fruity colors because it wasn't exclusively primary colors, and it definitely wasn't pastels, but it was like lots of like plums and like pale blues and bright greens in her work in general, and in this one, like deep, rich, like red and purple. Like the coloring is really compelling,
right?
And in this one in particular, I think helpful to note that we have, I think what we're looking at is like one body. Actually, let me literally pull up the work as I'm describing this.
It's a hand touching.
A hand touching a vulva, and the legs that would, you know, be associated with that vulva are two different colors of sort of a beige and a bright pink. And then the hand is like a yellow tone, but there's also another hand that is sort of wrapping around this body that is brown. So it's very fluid and actually like inclusive just in the in the coloring that's used.
It's very organic.
Yeah.
It just feels like, even though these are very rich colors, it feels right. Like it's it's not saturated. It's not like polarizing when you see it.
Yeah.
It's really...
Yeah, and you feel simultaneously like these could be lovers or it could be one person pleasuring themselves. Like it's
to me, it's like one person. Like there's something about the way that the hand is holding the breast that makes me feel like it's like self pleasure and like not for anyone else's benefit. Like it's not for like the viewer's benefit. You know what I mean?
It's interesting you interpret that way because I thought lovers because this hand is sliding in from like the right side of the painting, like the brown arm is coming in from the right, and then there's a little bit of brown overlapping with the leg on the right. So I almost wondered if it was lovers intertwined, but I love that it could be interpreted both ways.
Yeah, me too.
I had that same feeling. I was looking at it, I couldn't decide if it was one person or this is a group activity. If this was,
I think that's what's kind of beautiful about it, and like it speaks to the intimacy of a moment like that, of feeling, you know, bonded to someone like that as if they are connected to you or a part of you.
Yeah.
Be part of it.
I also love that like the fingernails are a different color. That's like fun and exciting to me.
Just a fun whimsical detail.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's just like a good detail.
I also like we got a big old nipple.
Yes. Huge nipple.
We got a tit up towards the center, and it's a lovely like plum colored tit with just a big old areola.
Yeah, it's not like a tiny, cute, perfect.
Yeah,
it
makes
me
feel seen with my dish plates over here.
I love that. Right, she's very like body positive, you know?
Yeah.
It's great,
This is like the piece. If I could, like, I would love to like buy this when I'm rich and famous. I'm gonna have this hanging in my.
Bitch, know that I was looking at prices. Know that I was trying to figure out where in my career I have to be to be able to afford this painting over your fucking bed.
Thank you. You know me well.
Yeah, give me a decade, but we'll get there.
Come back in 10 years.
Yeah, come back in 10 years.
In 30 years. I will have saved up enough scratch.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
Well, Armando, thank you so much for coming on the show.
Truly. Hey, my pleasure. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, and thanks for
this was
talking about erotic art with us.
Yeah.
For everyone listening, please tune into Armando's work. His Instagram handle is at Armando Cabba, right?
Armando Cabba, yeah.
C-A-B-B-A. Perfect. If you're a fan of erotic art, you're going to love his stuff.
Yeah. And thanks in general to the fans that wrote in to suggest this topic. Like, I think coming into this episode, I was the most ignorant about erotic art, had obviously seen some of it or engaged with it, but it wasn't something in my day to day. And as much as I don't think it's going in my spank bank as I will masturbate to this, I do think it is going to be more and more a part of my life. Like vintage photography, like I own a couple of vintage Playboys, but this feels much like a fun new universe to really engage with.
Yeah.
Oh, and it's really been picking up. Like even bigger art accounts have been sharing more intimate erotic work these days. So it's peaking.
Yeah.
Right. If you like porn, you're going to like erotic art.
Exactly.
Yeah. Thanks so much for listening to Girls on Porn. You can find us on Twitter at GOP the Podcast, on Instagram at Girls on Pern, that's porn without the O because of the aforementioned censorship, or on our website at girlsonporn.com.
Don't forget to rate, review, and subscribe to the show if you haven't already.
If you leave us a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts, include your Insta handle and we'll post it and tag you, expressing our abundant gratitude.
This has been Girls on Porn, the only GOP that's actually good.
That was a HeadGum Podcast.